Let us pray. Dear Heavenly God and Father, we break open your scriptures this morning. We've come to you in song and in prayer and in offering and in silliness and even in the busyness of our lives. Now, help us to slow down for just a moment to break open your word, to learn from your scriptures that the word Jesus Christ comes to us. Help us to hear what we need to hear today. We pray in his name. Amen. Amen. We pick up the letter to the Philippians in the third chapter, verse 4. Once more, we hear the word of God. Paul writes to his friends, "If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of the resurrection. Not that I've already attained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us then who are mature be of the same mind. And if you think differently about anything, this too God will reveal to you. Only let us hold fast to what we have attained." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When I came to preach to you back in May, I made a passionate and sincere appeal begging you to get out of the boat with me. Jesus is approaching our lives. He's approaching our church, doing the impossible. He's walking on water through sea and storm just to be with us. So once more, I beg you to jump out of the boat to meet him. Grab him by the hand. Trust. Have faith. Have enough hope. Let him to lead us and guide us through the storms and visions of the new visions of the kingdom of God in this place. And there is no doubt in my mind that each of us here want to cry out with the Apostle Paul, "I want to know Christ and the power of the resurrection." That passion is here. Now, since I arrived here at the beginning of July, I jumped into the boat with you. And I quickly settled into the coxswain's seat. You know the coxswain. This is the littlest person in the skull, in the rowboat, that directs the brawny rowers who power the boat. The coxswain sits kind of apart, and am I mispronouncing it? The coxswain. And he sits kind of apart, and he gives direction. Now, what's the biggest drawback for the coxswain? Facing backwards. It's the wrong direction. The coxswain is facing backwards. That's a drawback, but it's not the worst thing that's happened to me this week, this month. By facing backwards, I have been able to watch and see many things. Firstly, this is a great group of Christians. Generous of heart and of checkbook. Filled with good intention, the love of God and the willingness to serve the Lord. In selfless service, many are rowing with all their might and working so hard. And great things are happening in this sanctuary, in this church, in our neighborhood, in the neighborhood from Nicaragua to Russia. because many are living out that old saying, ministry is 10% inspiration and 90% perspiration. Great people, servants of the Lord, desperately wanting to live out loving God and loving our neighbor, from Nicaragua to Russia to the homeless in downtown Colorado Springs to the person right next to you in the chair. The Spirit of the living God is alive and well in this place, in our staff, in our meeting rooms, in our session and deacons, in all you all. Now, watching the skulls every 4 years during the Olympics, I'm always amazed how they stay on course. I mean, there's nobody steering. The skull stays on course because all the rowers are working together in sync, pulling together in the same direction, guided and going at the same rate, guided by the coxswain. Now, let me repeat myself. You all are a grand group of Christians, generous, filled with good intention, loving God, serving, rowing with all our might, doing the real work of ministry, 10% inspiration, 90% perspiration. And I have seen much hard work from the coxswain seat. But I am also aware that for a while the coxswain seat was empty. And rowing was happening and going just as hard as possible, but kind of out of rhythm, out of coordination. And you know what happens to a scull when all the rowers aren't coordinated? They kind of swerve and bob and weave and eventually just go in circles. Now, I've settled pretty well into the pastor's chair. I've gotten in the boat with you, and as I've gotten to know you, I've found that you're all really nice to be around, fun, to be admired, having a great time. And you don't know how easy it would be for me to stay in the boat with you all, give you some direction, give us some coordination, and just keep going. Just stay the course. We could do this. It is so tempting. But I'd still have the problem of it being backwards. And we'd all be facing backwards. While I have observed Holy Spirit-led ministry and worship, many of us have our heads down and we're pulling just as much as hard as we can, but we have our heads down. We're doing our own thing. And it makes it hard to live out the apostles' imperative. Forget what lies behind. Strain forward to the goal. Now, the apostle is not saying, and I am certainly not saying, that we need to leave our past behind, that we have to forget our past. We cannot do that. The other night, I met with the folks from the well at Yo Yogurt. I don't even know if I'm saying that right. We're at Yo Yogurt, and Kathy Eskew asked us, what is a little-known fact about any of you? And I was ready. I had my answer, but the conversation changed direction before it got to me. Thank you, Kathy. So my answer is, I'm an American history wonk. I love American history, all kinds of history that has to do with the Americas. And so half of my reading is about American history. And because of that, I really do believe in and try to live out the saying that those who ignore history are doomed to repeat it. I believe that. So I pay a lot of attention to look at history. And as we look back at our covenant church history, we can make the same brag as the apostle makes. If anyone has reason to be proud of the past, we do. And more. This congregation has a glorious past. The apostle Paul looks back and recounts a glorious faith life. He said, I was the bomb. I was it. I served the Lord to the best of my considerable abilities, thank you very much. But it's all in the past. It's all gone. This is a new time. We are in a new day. We are living into a new reality. And it takes a new and forward-looking commitment to be with Jesus Christ yesterday, today, and forever. He says, the apostle says, I consider the past stuff. Everything that was good, and it was good. But I consider it rubbish. The Apostle Paul, uses the word here, scubala. All that former stuff was scubala. Our New Revised Standard Version translation is very polite and says rubbish. Translates it as rubbish. The King James Version is a little bit more literate and it says dung. I consider it all dung. The Message translation, old Peterson, gets even closer. He says, I consider it all dog dung. That stuff you pick up and throw away. That's what I consider the past. So Paul's saying, I've dumped it. I've thrown all of that away in order to embrace Christ in new, living, and vibrant ways. Not that I've already attained this or already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own. Because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward for what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal and the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Now I'm about to say maybe the hardest thing that I may ever say to you all. Remembering that this is a great group of Christians, we have to put our past behind us. Our past certainly isn't scubala. By no means is it. It's a glorious past. But that past could keep us from straining forward towards Christ Jesus. Our glorious past is just that. It's past. But if we keep looking backwards, we're going to say, well, when we were, or when our ministry was, or how much our income was, or the number of we had on the rolls. If we keep looking back, no matter how hard we row, we're going to just keep going in circles. And as we circle and look over our shoulders, we will get discouraged and lose hope. One of the first things, looking back at y'all, one of the first things that I noted that hope is alive. Do I get an amen? Hope is alive. But it's been hard to access lately. Now, simply having a coxswain in the seat, we've begun to feel hope again. At the same time, you can't let me get too comfortable in the boat with you. You can't. Because I'd be satisfied just to keep going. This is a good place. I truly believe we have to be attentive to our past, careful not to repeat the downfalls, sometimes even celebrate our past. We must. But we have to turn around and leave the past behind. We got to jump out of the boat and meet Jesus Christ where he is, coming to greet us through sea and storm. And I've taken that first step out of the boat myself. I moved the pastor's study out of room 207 and now moved it to 200. I took my first step out of the boat. I stepped out of Pastor Bill's space and made my own space. I took Anna's office and space and made it the coxswain seat. Not to forget them, not to any way discount the wonders they performed in the years of ministry that they dedicated to the Lord in this church, but to turn around and look forward. Not to forget what lies behind, for if we do, we're going to repeat that what we don't want to repeat. But we need to stop looking backward. We need to press on toward the goal of living out the kingdom of God right here, right now, and beyond. And I'm begging you once more to step out of the boat with me. This time, the first step is to literally give up the ghosts of those who were here in the past. Celebrate who they are and what they brought. But don't shake our head disparagingly thinking about them. Strain forward to what lies ahead. Fight the good fight of faith. And as we step out and move forward, I'm also begging that we put our past animosities away. Put them in a box. Put in a box protecting any kind of turf we might want to protect. Put in a box, get rid of, don't look back at how we used to do this. Or we've never done it this way before. Our past is not scubala. It's good and it's brought us to where we are today. But it could hold us back if we focus there. We are a new Kingdom of God day. We are in a new Kingdom of God day. Next week, we're going to take another step towards him and tweak our worship a little bit. Also next week, in our study of Philippians 4, chapter 4, we're going to see how the church presses toward the goal by recognizing that the Lord is near. And as we work towards Jesus here in the latter days of the second decade of the 21st century, we're going to find that the church of Peter and Paul, James and John, Lydia and Priscilla back in the first century looks a lot like the Kingdom of God days that we're in today. And it will be a vibrant and a new and exciting time to look forward, remembering that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And we will live into him as we step towards him as he comes towards us. Amen.